Lord, we would invite you to quicken our hearts and minds, that you would speak to us through your word as we join together, Lord, to talk about the things of life. For your word is life, Father. It is true. It is fixed. It is certain. It is life-changing. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to be lovers of your word, both written and living. And that, Lord, as we journey together through the pages of Scripture, we would be drawn ever closer to you and ever closer to one another. Our desire, Father, this day is that your precious Holy Spirit, that one who is our comforter and encourager, would also be our teacher. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 71. Psalm 71. The scripture says, "For our rock is not like their rock." And that is true, for our rock is immovable, you see. Our rock is the one called Jesus. The scripture tells us that. And it gives us a great confidence. It gives us a great certainty as we live our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 71 is really dealing with that, the reality of the rock-solid nature of our God, that he never changes. He will never fail. He is always present. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present, omniscient. Omnipresent and omnipotent. He is an awesome God indeed, and he is solid. We can trust him this morning. No matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, we know that God is able, he is adequate, and he will meet our needs. And we need to embrace him this morning. And that's exactly what we see here. As the psalmist begins this psalm, he turns his attention to the fact that God is his rock. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. I love the picture that he paints there. The psalmist knew his source. He would say that, God, you're my source, you're my strength, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're that place where I can run and be safe. And we need that, do we not, in our lives? We need that place where we can experience safety. You know, it's kind of like being in a group of friends, people that you know you can trust, and you feel safe in that group. You can move and have fellowship and enjoy one another's company and know that they have your back. There's nothing like that. I love the fellowship that the Lord gives us. But in the midst of all of that, it's simply a reminder of the perfect fortress, of the perfect place of safety in our God. He is our strong refuge. I love going to the coast. Lee mentioned that this morning. And one of the things that I particularly enjoy is being on the coast when the huge storms come from off the water and they begin to pass over the land. One time we were on the coast and we were having a retreat years ago, and as we were there in this house, we looked out over the water and we could actually see the water being picked up off the ocean surface and forming these clouds. And I mean, when it came over the land, when it broke the land, it was like somebody had taken a bucket of water and just dumped it. It was so much water coming down. It was unbelievable. But the great thing was, it was outside. And we were inside. We were safe, you see. We could enjoy the wonder of that power and of all that was unfolding out there. But we were safe in that house. And that's where we are in our relationship with God. We are safe. He's never going to allow anything to come into our lives, but that he will give us the strength to deal with it. When people harm us or come against us, we know that God is there. He's in the midst, every single thing that unfolds in your life and mine, we need to see as being from the hand of the Father, whether it be good or whether it be bad. God is an awesome God, and he uses all of those things. This psalmist here, we don't know for sure who it was, said that he was going to continually come to the Lord. That idea of being a regular attender. He's a regular attender of God, in God's presence. And that's why, you see, it's important for us to be in that same boat, if you will. We need to be regular attenders, coming into God's presence, whether it be in the sanctuary, in the privacy of our own home, wherever it happens to be. We need to be continually coming to the one that we call Father. We need to be coming to the one that we have committed our eternal destiny to as we live our lives, because it's there that we find hope, we find peace, we find direction. He found the safety of communion with the Father, communing with the Lord, the God of heaven. There's nothing like that. To know that God is listening as we speak, to know that he cares for us so very deeply, to know that he is at work and he will do those things in our lives. This fellow that wrote this psalm didn't want to run from life, but he knew he needed the strength to face it. There are times that we seem to lack strength, or we're not sure that we're going to have enough strength to make it. But he would say there in verse 3, "You're my strong habitation. You've given commandment to save me." And that's the promise of his word, that he's given us a promise that nothing will come into our lives that will overwhelm us, but that he will give us a way to deal with it and the strength to undergo the trial, the test. And that's a great source of hope. The psalmist knew his source. But the psalmist also knew there was another. The psalmist knew his enemy. "Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. You are he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." There's an enemy out there, the psalmist would say. He's coming against me, and I need your help, Lord. Deliver me from this one. Now, the psalmist was probably writing about a flesh and blood person or flesh and blood people that were coming against him. And we may experience that, but one thing we know for sure is that there is an enemy out there that is in the spiritual realm who would seek to devour us, to want to take us down, to wipe us out, to cause us to fall and to stumble. And we need to realize that he is very real. You know, as you read the statistics of believers, of those who would call themselves evangelical Christians, it's an amazing thing that the majority of Christians do not believe in a literal Satan, that the devil is a real person. But he is very real. You can't look at the scripture and not realize that he is real, that he rebelled against God, that he was cast from heaven, that he's at work today. And he's doing all of he can to sidetrack God's program. And if we fail to acknowledge his reality, we've lost the battle, because he's going to get us. He's going to take us down, because he is the destroyer. He is the liar. He is the one who will seek to destroy our lives and the lives of those around us. Indeed, the battle is on. Someone has said, you know, it ain't heaven till it's heaven. And so heaven's not going to be here till we get to heaven. There's a battle on today, and it's heating up. It is accelerating. It is becoming a challenge. You know, as we watch the kids grow up in our schools and in the world at large, we pray for them diligently, because there's a battle on. There's a battle on for their minds and their hearts. And as diligent parents, I know that you are walking them through that, and you are helping them to see and understand the fallacies of human wisdom and the reality that God's wisdom is the only true wisdom. And they need to test what they're being taught and told by what the Word of God says. And if they'll do that, they're going to have victory, you see. They're going to be able to escape those things which will take so many kids down. We see it happen. This this generation is challenged, and we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to witness. And even the upcoming missions outreach. I mean, how important is that? To be able to go out and share the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus is real, that he is a forgiving God, that he is going to make a difference in their lives, you see. And I appreciate so much our kids that are willing to stand for the Lord in the school. It's not easy. For those of you who are involved in the school system, the teachers and so forth, I have the greatest respect for you because I know that it's not easy because there are multiple voices calling and you have to choose. And it is important that we stand for the truth. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Verse 5, he says, "You are my hope." Tikva is the word. It is to long for something. The psalmist says, "I long, Lord, for your provision in my life. My hope is that you are there, that you are able, that you are adequate to meet the need." And praise really is the overflow of love from his heart, as he realizes not only the adequacy of God, but the wonder of God. "By thee I have been holden up from the womb. You are the one who took me out of my mother's bowels, and my praise shall be continually of thee." No matter what's unfolding in my life, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I know that you're working in my life. And the years had taught him about God's faithfulness. This morning, as we think about that, can you say, "Yeah, God's faithful"? I certainly can bear witness to that. God is so faithful. Paul would say, "I know whom I have believed and know that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." He was going through all sorts of trials and tribulations and difficulties, and yet he said, "You know what? I know God's in control." And we need to be able to say that too. I know that God's in control. And he's working those things in our lives. Have you noticed that change takes time? It's kind of like that ticking clock, you know. We want it to move faster, but it doesn't move faster. It kind of ticks you off, doesn't it? We want the change to happen now. We want to get through that problem, that challenge, that besetting sin. And every single one of us has that. Whether it's a sharp tongue or our thought life or the things that we are doing in our lives, whatever it happens to be that is that which is our challenge in life, the psalmist would remind us that it just takes patient endurance. How many times will God forgive us when we fall? Well, we know at least 490, right? That's what Jesus told Peter, right? Peter says, "Hey, man, I'm going to forgive him 7 times. And that was a lot, according to the teachings of the rabbis, man. Peter thought he was being really spiritual, very accommodating. And the Lord says, "Yeah, Pete, well, let's take the 7 and multiply it by 70. Try 490 times. Well, if the Lord is telling us that we need to be forgiving to that level, then I'm imagining it's a reflection of him. Our God is a forgiving God. He's not only the God of the first and second chance, but he's the God of the 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th. He is the God that will forgive us to the uttermost because he says he's going to present us faultless. One day we'll be faultless. Oh, I long for that day. Yeah, I want to be that, and I know I'm not. And most of you know I'm not too. But hey, I got news for you. I know that you're not either. But that's why we get along so well. We acknowledge our limitations. We acknowledge our shortcomings. We realize that no one needs to be put on a pedestal except Jesus. We don't need to be on a pedestal. We're all too human. And yet God uses us. He uses you for his glory. That's awesome. I love that. That's what God does in our lives. In verse 7, he says, "I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." You see it there? There it is in verse 7. "I am as a wonder unto many." The idea is a sign, a special sign to people. You know, people scratch their heads and say, "Really?" They can't figure out why they would why God would use a knothead like me or like you. But the truth of it is, the answer is easy. Because we've made him our refuge. And we're wrapped up in his sufficiency. It's not my sufficiency. It's not your sufficiency. It's your insufficiency and my insufficiency. It is that where I say, okay, God, I can't do this. This is definitely way outside of my comfort zone. And yet I know, Lord, you've called me to this, so I know that you're going to do the work. You're going to be my sufficiency. And those of you who have undertaken ministry know that. God invariably moves us outside of our comfort zone because it's there that he receives all the glory. Because people go, say, there's no way that could have been Mark. And I say, amen. Thank you, Lord. There's no way. It's only you, Lord, that can accomplish those things. And I challenge you. You know, if the Lord has been stirring your heart concerning ministry, concerning missions, concerning outreach, participate in the Memorial Day outreach, even if it's only for a day or for a few hours. It will be life-changing for you because God will meet you there. And he will take you and he will use you for his glory, and you will walk away a changed person, and most likely somebody around you will be changed as well. Who knows? Maybe you have the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, which would put you in a very special category because most Christians have never, ever shared their faith. It's something that is such a joy, such a privilege, and yet we fail to take advantage of that. And so we become a wonder. And as he praises the Lord there, he says, verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and your honor all the day. That's just the overflow of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. It just becomes an overflow. We just kind of gush, you know. We gush God, if you will. We kind of just gush the love of Jesus into the lives of other people. And that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me. And we don't do it necessarily even by purpose. Sometimes it just happens, you know. You just realize that it's just kind of flowing out, and it's the natural consequence of being a lover of the Lord. Have you ever been walking along and all of a sudden you realize you're singing or whistling a worship song, whatever, and you weren't even thinking about it? That's what that is, you see. It's just the overflow of Jesus in your life, in my life. You see, as we think about that, we want praise and worship to be what overflows from our lips, right? Too often, I'm afraid, our mouths are filled with complaint because our hearts aren't filled with Jesus. The more we're filled with him and the things of him, the more the fruit of our lips is going to be about him, about things of God, about that which he is doing in our lives. And that's so, so important. He goes on there in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Now, see, we're starting to get personal here. I started reading this, I'm thinking, he goes on there, cast me not in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength fails, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. The psalmist knew assurance. God had been faithful to him up to the point where he wrote this psalm. And he says, God, I want you to continue to be faithful to me. And there's nothing wrong with that prayer. Lord, I'm just seeking your continued faithfulness. I know that you're faithful, Lord. But I'm going to remind you that you need to be faithful. I'm going to bring your promises to you, Lord, and remind you of those promises. It's not like he forgets, but it's a reminder to us. It reinforces in our lives. You see, he appealed for God's continued blessing. He wanted to end well. I hope we want to end well in our lives. We need to finish well. And all too often we find that doesn't happen. That people falter at the end. We see it too often in the body of Christ. Lord, help me to finish well. Help me to keep my eyes on the prize. Help me to realize that it's not over till it's over. That ministry never ceases until I draw my final breath. There is no retirement for the Christian. You know, I mean, we may quit our day job, But we continue to be a minister for Jesus Christ. No matter what our limitations are, there's always something that we can do for his glory and for the good of the body. He appealed to the Lord. But what was the enemy saying? Oh, man, forget it. God's not paying any attention to you. You're old, washed up. God can't use you. He's turned away from you. God's forsaken you. But isn't that the way the evil one works? He plants the seed of doubt. He plants that, I wonder if my days of usefulness are over. And the answer is no. Absolutely not. God has a purpose and a plan for you this day. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you begin to feel discouraged, when you begin to feel disheartened, stop and say, okay, number one, God, I know that you've said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I have you here. You're with me. And I know, Lord, that you said you're going to work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Okay, I've got that. I also know, Lord, that you said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. I'm getting older, moving a little slower. I make noises when I get out of the chair that I didn't used to make. You know, moving a little slower. But God, I know you can use me. You know, God is never very far away. Matter of fact, he's not away at all. This weekend, get a call. Dad, the truck won't start. I'm sitting in the parking lot of Coastal. Bethany, I'm sorry. I'm 160 plus miles away. Call the tow truck. She reached out to me for help, but I really couldn't give her the help that I wanted to give her because I was removed from her. That will never happen with God. He's never on vacation. He's never sick. He's never inattentive. When you call to him, when I call to him, when we reach out, he is there. He says, okay, what can I do for you, son? What can I do for you, daughter? What is it that you need? And we begin to pray. We begin to talk to him. The psalmist said, God, you've been so good to me. Never far from me, O God. Make haste for my help. Verse 13, he goes on, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. And my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Notice he said, he didn't say, I'm going to go in my strength. Even if I might be feeling strong today, I'm not going to go in my strength because I know my strength is waning. I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. The scripture says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's really a pretty stark picture when you really dig into it. And we need to realize that the psalmist knew growth in grace. As he says there in verse 14, I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, the fruit of that growth is on our lips. Don't look at what's behind. Look at what's ahead. Don't live in the past, the failures, the difficulties, even the victories, by the way. Look to the future. I never want to be that one who remembers the good old days. I want to live with the excitement that the Lord is still at work. He's still powerful, and he wants to do more and greater things than he's done in the past. When we start living in the past, we lose sight of the future. When we lose sight of the future, we become sedentary. We become lethargic. God, I know you're at work today, and I know that you have some things out there that you want us to do. Help us to do those things. David was one who looked ahead, even as a boy. You remember when he went and took the supplies to the army, see his brothers, check on them, his dad sent. And Goliath is out there, rah, 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 rah. And everybody's going, woo, you know, little girls. I know, it's sexist, sorry. So David says, I can deal with that dude. I don't care how big he is. Saul said, you're just a kid. What did David say? He said, you know what? I serve a big God. And he'll take care of that Philistine. He'll do it. He was looking ahead. He remembered the past. God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. But I know that God is going to do even greater things because he's going to deliver me from the hand of this mighty warrior. And the same is true of our lives. God will do that for you. He will do that for me. Let me share, let you share that it's his righteousness. It's not my righteousness. He says, I will go in the righteousness of God, your righteousness, even yours alone. It's his strength and not mine that moves me higher. It's a familiar verse, Isaiah 40:31, right? They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. It's his strength. It's not ours. It hasn't changed. It's been that way since eternity past. It will be that way to eternity future. It's always him. It's always his strength. It's always him that's at work in our lives. In verse 17, he goes on, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. This is my verse today. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. The psalmist knew that it was a learning process. Guys, if we fail to pass on the vision of the reality of Jesus to our kids, pass on the reality of his power, pass on the reality of his life-changing power, we fail. If you read through the scriptures, you see the failure of generations in the Old Testament, that they failed to pass on the reality that God is alive and well and at work. And as a result of that, the kids slid into idolatry. God had to discipline them, and then they came back to the truth that God is real. They repented and God restored them. But how much better would it be if we steal our kids, if you will? Not steal, but steel. Only two E's, not three. Their minds, so that they can discern truth, so that they can find the strength to avoid the pull of the world. He wanted to pass on the truth of God's power, and so must we. Pray diligently. Be faithful parents. Be faithful grandparents. It's not easy. Sometimes the greatest resistance we will have are from those of our own family. They don't understand why you do what you do. They don't understand the boundaries that you set. They don't understand why you have your kids go to church every Sunday. You're going to make them rebel. Ever heard that? You know what? Tough. They're not going to rebel. The Lord says, if I train my children up in the ways of the Lord, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. Well, if that's true, then I need to make sure that they're trained up in the way of the Lord. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Lord, you've been faithful in my youth. Help me to pass that on. Help me to carry it and be a faithful steward of what you've given me, Lord. Because the psalmist knew there is no one like his God. In verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Thou hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou hast shown me great and sore troubles. You should underline that. Shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Understanding begins with the knowledge of God and his righteousness. Everything that he does is right. You know, I've heard people blame God for an awful lot. We simply need to say everything that God does is right. Does that mean even the bad stuff? Yes. God either brings those things into our lives or he allows them into our lives for a purpose. I have to say there are some things that I have experienced that if I had a choice, I would have rather not experienced those things. And yet I know, as I look back now upon them, that God used those to teach me so much. It is amazing. And I'm sure you could say the same thing as you look in your life. I am so thankful for the good times. I'm so thankful for the relationship that we have with our children and with you and with those that we call friend. I'm thankful for those things, but I'm also thankful for those that have come into my life, those difficult individuals, because they have taught me so much about God's grace. God's grace in our lives. God uses the good and the bad. And those things come to grow us up. You're in the business of maturing today. He is maturing you. He is growing you. He is preparing you for the next chapter. I don't know what that chapter is for you. But I can tell you this. If you will be faithful, if I will be faithful, if we will be faithful to spend time in God's presence, with God's people, in God's word, he will use us for his glory in ways that we could never imagine. And I am thrilled to think about that possibility. In verse 22, and as we wrap our time up today, he says, I will also praise you with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto you will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. The psalmist knew the value of praise and worship. When you find yourself in that place of disheartenment, discouragement, even dryness, stop and just begin to praise the Lord. Stop and sing a song. Stop and say a prayer. Stop and share the wonder of God. You know, God uses tools both outward and inward to change us. And we need to do the same. Our lips should bring forth praise. It should be a natural overflow of what God is doing in your life and in mine. As our relationship deepens with the Lord, what we're going to find is those things which we talk about, think about, do, we're going to bring glory to the Lord as well, because praise and worship flow from our soul. Develop your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions to be in conformance with the will of God, in conformance with the heart of God, in conformance with the plan of God. Well, how do I do that? Spend time talking to him. It's amazing what God will show you when you talk to him. Spend time reading his word. Spend time in the fellowship. Spend time. Because you see, it's more than just words. God isn't so interested in our words as he is our hearts. He wants our hearts. If we will give him our hearts, everything else will follow. Have you noticed that? Where our heart is set, out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks, and so forth. We're to guard our hearts, and we'll allow the Lord to do his work in our hearts. As we do that, like the psalmist, we will find that our God is a solid rock, immovable, unchangeable, always dependable in our lives, and he is our source. Let's become men and women of God today. Let's choose to be his and his alone. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for its challenge. Father, it is a reminder to us of how far you have brought us. But it's also a reminder to us, Lord, of our shortcomings, Lord, and our total dependence on you. Thank you, Father, that you extend grace to us, grace greater than all our sin, Lord. And we are so pleased for that, Lord. I pray today, Father, that you would speak to each of our hearts, Lord, as only you can. That you would cause us, Lord, to rejoice that we're your kids. And if there be any here that are not yet your kids, might they choose today to enter into that relationship with you through Jesus. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would move in power this very moment, Lord. Might you draw us ever nearer, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your plan. And I pray, Father, today that as we quiet our hearts and minds, that we would hear your voice speaking to us, saying, I have this covered. I've got you in my hands, and I will never let you go. Thank you for that assurance, Lord. Thank you for the promise of heaven. We long for that day when we will hear the trumpet and join our Savior in the clouds. I pray, Lord, as we leave this place today, we would do so encouraged, strengthened, refreshed, Lord, prepared for the week that is ahead of us. A good week, Lord. A week full of opportunities. A week full of plans that you have for us, Lord. And so I pray that the Lord would indeed unfold his plan before you. That you would draw near to him and that he would draw you near to himself. That you experience the fullness of his love. Be encouraged that heaven is near. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.